This week we're celebrating the International Women's Day of Prayer. It says, since 1990, the Department of Women's Ministries at the General Conference has promoted a special day when women have the opportunity to strengthen their spiritual bonds and pray for each other. The International Women's Days of Prayer provides opportunity for women to learn about each other and pray for one another. Prayers for every woman create a spiritual network between Adventist women. And I have to say this. Thousands of women and men, because sometimes we leave out the men, but thousands of women and men gather on this day all over the world to pray. And I know each and every one of us have had prayer that has been answered. My friend gave me this story this week, all based on true stories that actually happened to people. The first one is Rudy's Angel. And I'm reading these stories because these all are about prayer. He said, I walked to the grocery store not particularly being interested in buying anything. I wasn't hungry. The pain of losing my husband after 37 years was still too raw. And at this time, when she was in the grocery store, he would pretend to go off and do something. I knew what he was up to. I'd always spot him walking down the aisle with three yellow roses. Rudy knew I loved yellow roses, and with a heart filled with grief, I only wanted to only buy a few items and leave. But even the grocery shopping was even different since Rudy died. Standing by the meat, I searched for the perfect small steak and remember how Rudy loved his steaks. Suddenly a woman came beside me. She was blonde, slim, and she was dressed in a lovely soft green pantsuit. I watched as she picked up the large pack of T-bones and once again put them back down. She saw me watching her and she smiled. My husband really likes T-bones, but honestly, at those prices, I really don't want to buy them. I swallowed and my emotions went right down my throat and I met her pale blue eyes. My husband has only passed away 8 days ago, she said, glancing at the package on her hand. She thought I fought to control my tears. She shook her head and saw the emotion in my eyes, and she packaged to her basket and wheeled away. I turned around and I looked across the length of the store to the dairy products. Then I decided, what size milk should I buy, the big one or the small one? Even a quart of milk, when you've lost a loved one, makes a difference. So she said, I went to the ice cream. If nothing else, I can always fix myself an ice cream. I placed the ice cream in my cart, and I walked down the aisle. I saw the lady with the green suit, then recognized the pretty lady coming towards me. In her arms, she carried a package. And I'm sure you know what I'm going to say. On her face was the brightest smile I've ever saw. She came closer, and what I saw made tears come streaming down my eyes. These are for you. Three long stem yellow roses. And you think that God never used the lady in the pantsuit that day to help that lady that was going through that very hard way. When she got through the aisle, she said, they'll know that they're paid for. She leaned over and she gave me a gentle kiss on the side of my face. I wanted to tell her what she'd done, but I was still unable to speak because I walked away and the tears were just filling my eyes. I looked down at the beautiful, long, yellow roses. The story that she put behind this, it says, every day, be thankful for what you have and what you are. Even though I clutch my blanket and growl when the alarm goes off, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are many who are deaf. Even though I close my eyes against the morning sunlight and I want to stay in my bed, thank you, Lord, that I can see. Many are blind. Even though I hurl in my bed and put off the rising, thank you, Lord, that I can still get up. Thank you, Lord, even though the first day of my day is hectic and all of us that have been mothers and are still mothers now, the socks are lost, the toast is burnt, the tempers are raging, and the children are sold out, thank you, Lord, that I still have a family. Even though our breakfast, and I love this one because guess what? When you're raising a family, I don't know if anybody about here, But my table never looked like a magazine. And this one talks about having your table dressed like a magazine. When you raise lots of children and things are in this way and that way, things don't go that way you want. Even though our breakfast table never looks like the pictures of a magazine and a menu sometimes is unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job is often monotonous, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no jobs. And you would never believe the people that are working for minimum wage, both husband and wife. And when you got a young family that's paying $800 a month rent out of two people working minimum wage, you choose between what else that you're going to buy. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work for the ones. And even though I grumble and bemoan my fate from day to day, I wish my circumstances weren't so modest. Thank you, Lord, for life. And I have to say, thank you, Lord, for life. Each and every one of us this year have been through so many different battles, deaths, sorrow, children are separating, divorces, cancer. I had another friend again now. Yeah, got a call yesterday that she is 140 pounds a couple of weeks ago. She went in for emergency surgery yesterday. She walked out of the hospital 124, and things don't look good. She's got a cancerous tumor on her bladder, and things don't look well for her. So right now she's 124 pounds. She's absolutely scared to death. Like, how much more am I going to lose before this stops? Some of us are battling trying to lose weight, and we have some of us that are anorexia, you know, and we're all, some of us have no hair, some of us have tons of hair. Some of us, you know, like each and every one of us, when you look around the world, that every one of us wish things were different for us. But I think that I thank God that I think that we should be thankful for what we have. When Rowena and Amy sang this song this morning, it reminds me of the days I've suffered very bad depression. And I am so thankful for the song, but I am so thankful for my wonderful husband. Like every morning before he goes to work, we pray together. And I got to the point right now in my life, I don't say thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, in the last few weeks, I said, Lord, thank you for the beautiful day that I'm going to have. I'm already thanking him for the day that I'm going to have before I have it. And if trouble comes later on the day, I still have to look at what he's given me so far. That's been a blessing. The next one is about a shipwreck. And this is about how two people pray. And it's so amazing, the end of the story. There was a ship that was wrecked during a storm at sea. Only two men on the boat were able to swing to shore. And it was a desert island. They had two survivors. Not knowing what else to do, they agreed that two of them would pray. To find out whose prayer was more powerful, they decided to go to different sides of the island. So anyway, the first thing they did, they prayed for food. The next morning, the first man saw a fruit-bearing tree in his garden on his side. He was able to eat fruit to his plentiful. The other parcel of land remained barren, where the other man, there was nothing there. A week later, the first man got lonely and decided he wanted a wife. So he prayed for a wife. And a ship came in, it was wrecked, and the only person was on that boat was one woman. So that man got his wife. He looked over, and the other man never had anything. It said, soon the first man prayed for house, clothes, and more food, and the next day, magic was given back to him. He had a house, clothes, and food. However, the second man still had nothing. Finally, the first man prayed for a ship, that him and his wife could leave the island. And the next morning, the ship was there. The first man boarded the ship with his wife and decided to leave the second man on the island. He considered that the other man was unworthy to receive God's blessings, I thought, just like the parable of the Bible. The ship was about to leave, and the first man heard a voice from heaven. Why are you leaving your companion on the island? My blessings, he put his hands on his side, are my blessings alone. I was the one that prayed for him, the first man answered. His prayers were all still unanswered, and he does not deserve anything. You're mistaken, the voice from heaven said. He had only one prayer, and that prayer was for you to receive all your blessings. Wow. He prayed that all your prayers would be answered. And it says below this, for all we know, our blessings are not fruit of prayer alone, but those of others praying for us. I have to tell you a little thing about my dad. Since Mama's been gone, my father has been studying and reading the Bible. And my grandmother was my lifeline in my life. Everybody knows that my grandmother was the most important person in my life. The other night I was thinking, can you imagine when Jesus returns if my father is called in the kingdom and my grandmother sees my dad? The hardness man, the hardness son was my father. Can you imagine what Nan White would say when she sees my father? Like, I talk to Dad every day. My sister's doing studying with Nan the Bible from Toronto. I'm praying with him. I don't push him. When he says to me, Debbie, pray, I pray with him. But can you imagine? I can't even comprehend it because my Nan have talked about it so much. Debbie, like, you know, like your father was this way and he was hard and he was stubborn and he was, but he's so humble since Mom have died. He says, Debbie, I got to keep on trying because I want to see Mom. Right? And I thought, thank you, God. Right? So here's Nan's answered prayers from years and years and years ago. But I can't imagine, because I even think that I hope I get there because I want to see if Dad makes it when Nan sees Dad and the look on her face. It says right here, life is meaningless without our God. Oh God, listen to my prayers. From the ends of the earth I call. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I, for you've been my refuge and my strong foe against. I will long to dwell in your tent forever and ever, in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vow, O God. You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name. And when I done the title of the sermon, Stop, Look, and Listen, is because we really need to stop. We really need to listen to what God is telling us. And we really need to look to see which way he's shown us to go. This other little one that touched my heart, another answer to prayer. And like I said, I see a lot of working poor, and I know, and I've been down that road. Many of us have been down that road ourselves. A man asked God one day to show him what can he do to help another person. Again, he felt God showed him that I need you to stop and buy some milk. And he said to the Lord, buy milk? Why would I buy milk? The Lord said, I need you to go to the store and buy milk. Again, he felt he should go buy milk. And finally, he opened the door and he said, okay, God, this is for you. I will go to the door and then I will go to this door. The Lord showed him what door to go to bring the milk. If you want me to look like a crazy person, and sometimes that's what we're kind of afraid that we might look crazy or we might be denied, that I will guess I will count it something that if they don't answer right away, and then I'm going to be out of here. So he was going to give himself one knock. The people didn't come and answer. He was out of there as fast as anything. Then the door opened before the young man could get away, and the man was standing there in his jeans and T-shirt. He looked like he just got out of bed, and he had a strange look on his face, and he didn't seem too happy to have a stranger standing at his door. What is it? He said. The young man thrust out a gallon of milk. Here, I brought this for you. The man stood, took the milk, and ran halfway down the hall, speaking loudly in Spanish. Then from down the hall came a woman carrying the milk towards the kitchen. The man was following her holding the baby, and the baby was crying, and then tears were streaming down the man's face. The man began speaking and half crying. We were just praying. We had some big bills this month, and we ran out of money, and we didn't have one drop of milk for our baby. I was just praying and asked God to show me how to get some milk. His wife came in the kitchen, and she ran down. She said, I asked God to send me an angel. And you're him. The young man digged into his pocket and took out his wallet, and he pulled all the money that he had left and put it in the man's hand. He turned and he walked towards his car, tears streaming down his face, he knew that God told him what to do. I thought that was so beautiful. Grandma's hands. We've all had grandmas, and a lot of us don't have any grandmas now. Grandma's hands. Grandma, some 90-plus years, sat feebly on the patio bench. She didn't move. She just sat there with her head staring at her hands. When I sat down beside her, she didn't acknowledge my presence, and then I wondered if she really knew I was there. Finally, not really wanting to disturb her, but wanting to check out at the time if she was okay, she raised her head and she looked at me. She smiled. She said, "Yes, I thank you for asking," with a very clear, strong voice. "I didn't mean to disturb you, Grandma, but you were just sitting staring at hands, and I had to make sure that you were okay." She told me to look at your own hands, she said. "Look at them and turn them over and have a look at your hands." I slowly opened my hands and I stared down at them. I turned them over and over. Grandma smiled, and this is the story she told me. "Stop and think for a moment," and this includes men. "Stop and think for a moment about the hands that you have. Have they served you well through these years? These hands, though wrinkled, shriveled, and weak, are the tools that I used all my life to grab and embrace life. They caught me when we had our babies small. We all know when they were learning to walk. How many times did they fall? How over and over and over again. But we still went and we picked them up and we cooed them. They braced and caught my fall when I was a toddler when I crashed on the floor. They put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. As a child, my mother taught me to fold them in prayer, and I thought that was so beautiful. They tied my shoes and pulled on my boots. They held my husband's and wiped away my tears when he went off to war. They were dirty, scraped, raw, sewn, and beaten. And I'm sure every one of our hands has been like it. Between construction workers, electricians, and roofers, and people that worked in homes, and everything like that. And it said that she wore her wedding band, and that showed that the world that she was unloved, and she was loved by somebody else. They wrote love letters and trembled when I shook and buried my parents and my spouse. They held my children and grandchildren and consoled neighbors, and she shook her fist when she heard the state of things that were happening in the world. They covered my face, they combed my hair, they washed and cleansed the rest of my body. They have been sticky, wet, bent, broken, dried, and raw. And to this day, where not much of anything else works well, only my hands. She said, and again, I began to fold them in prayer. And this is the part that tore my heart out. These hands are marks of where I've been, the ruggedness of life. But more importantly, these hands will reach out to Jesus when he comes. And she wanted to take her hands, and when she sees Jesus, she wants to touch his face. Isn't that beautiful? To realize that that's the very last thing that she wants. She wants to be able to touch his face. This is one that my friend gave me. "You took my parking place at church. This should wake us up. One day a man went to visit a church. He got there early and he parked his car and he got out. And another car pulled up and the driver said, 'I always park there.' 'You took my place,' the visitor went inside for Sabbath school, found an empty seat and sat there. A young lady came from behind him and said, 'That's my seat. You took my place.' The visitor was somehow distressed by the rude welcome, but said nothing. At Sabbath school, the visitor went to the sanctuary and sat down. Another member walked up to him and said, 'That's where I always sit. You took my place.' The visitor was even more troubled by this treatment, but still said nothing. Later, as the congregation was praying to Christ to dwell among them, the visitor stood up. His appearance began to change. Horrible scars became on his hands, and his feet were sandaled. Someone from the congregation noticed and called out, 'What is happening to you?' The visitor turned around. His hat became a thorn, and a tear fell from his eye. He said, 'I took your place. So that's saying that Christ took our place. This is from a special friend that me and her always has beautiful spiritual talks together. This book I was given years ago from my son. I can't even remember when it was. But it's when I suffered depression really bad. And this book has carried me through the rocks and valleys of my life many times. The first little one, the just little quote, this lady who wrote this book, she was looking to find God, and she actually went away in the mountains, and she actually found God back in her life. And it's powerful. Like, it's just, I told my son that lots of times I'd read it and I'd cry because the very same thing I read is what I went through that day, and I'm sure every one of us have been here and have went through those things before. It says to us, relax in my healing presence. As you spend time with me, your thoughts tend to jump about to today. Your plans, your problems, bring them back to me for refreshment and renewal. Let the light of your presence soak into you as you focus your thoughts on me. Thus I quick you to face whatever the day brings. The sacrifice of my time pleases me. And you know what it says? I highlighted and I marked it and I highlighted. Do not skip on our time together. Resist the glamour of tasks waiting to be done. You have chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from you. And I don't know if anybody's like this, but when you're doing your devotional time, everything is just going around your head. I see head nods. I got to the point in my life when I do my devotional time, sometimes I'll just take a notepad and a pen. And if something comes to my head, say, I have to do this today, I have to write it down because my focus can't be. I have to just get it out of my head. I love that one. Like, this book has really helped me. And this is the son that was heavy into drugs, drinking, and gambling, and witchcraft. And now he could actually be a motivational speaker for a high school about helping kids on drugs. And I was talking to him last night, and he read his Bible. His Bible is in his car, and he said to me when I was away, I said, what Bible? He says, now, Mom, you know it's one of them Bibles that you packed in my suitcase when I was going away thinking that I would know be there. And I couldn't remember I actually did it because he was at the state. He didn't want nothing to do with God, nothing to do with people, whatever. But anyway, that's the one that's in his car on a daily basis. The very last thing we're going to do is that this here, you have this in your bulletin. If you get a chance, anybody with a computer, it's beautiful to go on, because to see it and listen to it, it just touches your heart. And I've talked to many people at their lowest times of life. They went on this and they've watched this on the computer and their lives were changed forever to realize that how much their Heavenly Father truly loves them. I just want you just to listen and just meditate on the words that are, and it's word for word on this.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been father and will always be father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
I found that very powerful. Just on the one site, 500,000 people have read that, just on the one, and there's hundreds of them that are almost the same as this. I'd like for us to bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to truly thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be rich in every one of us to realize that you are our Father and you'll carry us through whatever we have to go through. Thank you, Lord, so much for our little children, and help us to realize that they're going to be our next generations that are going to lead. But each and every one of us that are getting older and can't do everything that we used to able to do before, keep us strong and keep us focusing on you in your most precious, beautiful name. Amen.